Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
Oh, I forgot to say what Nerd stood for.
What does Nerd... You know what, Jordan? Educate us.
Never-ending retro dialogue. That's my intro, and I'm there for 2 years now, and I missed it.
It's okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Almost.
Almost.
I'm looking at the blueprints and the foundation for the Batmobile.
Yes.
Looks pretty good.
At the time of this recording, it is a day before my birthday, and my
That's
son,
right.
My son bought me the animated Batman series Lego set that has Batman, Mr. Freeze, and Harley for some reason. I don't know how she fits in with Mr. Freeze. I would have rather have had one of the little snow grunts or something. So, or Clayface. Why can't they do a Clayface Lego set?
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, today's a special...
Special episode.
Special episode. Special occasion. We have with us a guest, someone who I have known since second grade. Is that about right?
I would say almost first grade.
Maybe even first grade. So, most of our lives, we've known each other, been friends, and the episode we're covering, he has great knowledge in, and we've spent a lot of time in our youth doing it. And so we welcome Ryan to the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to discuss board games today because we did, what was it, about a year ago?
Yeah, we did card games.
We did card games. We had Ross on our show, and so we talked about Yu-Gi-Oh! And a little bit of, what's the other card games?
Magic?
Magic the Gathering and some of the others. So now we're going to do the board games.
They get their due diligence here on the Nerd Podcast.
Yeah.
Finally, after a year.
Yeah, so,
yeah, there's a lot of memories of you and I late night playing board games.
Absolutely. So, let me ask you this. Now, my dad loved board games, so my first memory is like Candyland, Chutes and Ladders.
Sure,
I'm sure most.
Yeah.
What's your first memory of a board game that you played?
I used to play Monopoly a lot with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Dad would play, but Dad always would kick my rear end. he was just patient and good at it.
Yeah.
And then we played Scrabble. I would play that with my grandmother. And then, you know, the Game of Life, which is so much different now.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Game of Life, you can't even find that version anymore.
No. Yeah. Correct.
So, yeah. I mean, those were the big ones. And then I just started to really love them, and I started to play, like, Risk.
Oh.
And so I would play with my mom. Dad would play occasionally, but I'd play with mom sometimes and, you know, start to learn the strategy and stuff. And then just because the game takes forever. It doesn't have to. There's new ways you can play it now to kind of limit the time on it.
Well, and like with everything else now, they got different versions of Risk, right? Like you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about because there's multiple different games that are out there now that are old that they've brought back and put them into different types, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. What about you, Jordan?
Well, Clue was a big one for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of my memories from being young come from, and I'm not saying I played this correctly in any way, but my dad loved Access and Allies.
Oh,
well, he still does, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, man, I remember setting that game up and just being like, I don't want to play now because I took so long to set up, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, Access and Allies is probably the one that I can remember playing with Doug a lot.
Yes, yes.
Which I was going to bring up because we're talking about this. Did you know there's a G.I. Joe Access and Allies now?
So I actually,
I did not.
I just saw it at Barnes & Noble the other day.
So the thing is with Access and Allies, probably jumping ahead a little bit here.
that's what we do here.
Yeah. But the thing is like, so the Access and Allies series came out. The original one came back in the 80s, and it was Milton Bradley had brought out the Game Master series, and they were trying to kind of get into the whole war game, but make it easy to learn, easy to play, and not be so complex as what the games were that were coming out in the 70s and early 80s, the Avalon Hill games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody knows about those games, but those are the little chits, cardboard chits with a hexagon board. And the rule book would be 100 and some pages long, and you'd have to read the rules and then go back and read the rules and then go back and read the rules a 10th time and play the game, and you still wouldn't have it right.
Yeah.
So when Milton Bradley brought out the Game Master series, they were really trying to kind of dig into the strategy aspect, and Axis Knowledge was one of the first ones they released. Mm-hmm. Now, through the years, then they kind of developed some other parts of Axis Knowledge, and then in the, like, I think it was in the middle 2000s, they were actually bought out. The company, Milton Bradley, had actually sold it to another company, and then it got bought again, and they started releasing more complex versions of Axis Knowledge. So now there's like, and I own a lot of these, but a lot of them now are out of print.
Oh, okay.
And they're really, really, really hard to find. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are, the Renegade Games has purchased the rights to all of them. So the plan is for them to actually start releasing the older versions and bringing them back.
Okay.
With revised rules, revised parts. And the G.I. Joe one that you saw was actually by Renegade Game. They had just brought that out not too long ago.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, they, I mean, they have the Europe and the Pacific, which were, they start off in 1940. You put the boards together. The board takes up, I mean, the table space on it is incredible. And it has every single world power. It even has, like, you can play as China. You can play as, I mean, Anzac. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. And the board's huge, and there's, they have major competitions every year. People play that game. I own the versions. Mm-hmm. I've set it up to look to see what it looks like, and yeah, it's beautiful. But to find, I mean, to play with two people, it would take you probably days.
Yeah.
Days. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I've seen, when I've watched games on like YouTube and stuff, it's usually around eight people who are playing, yeah, if not more. I mean, it's incredible. But they've done like they've broken it down to like D-Day, Battle of the Bulge, Guadalcanal. They did a World War One version of it, so they're branching out a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But that Game Master series was awesome. I mean, you remember? Mm-hmm. I mean, Fortress America.
Yes.
Shogun.
Yep.
Broadsides and Boarding Parties, which I never owned, and it took me years to find, and I actually found it about 5 years ago. Some guy was selling it, some older gentleman out of Dayton was selling it, and I actually met him in Springfield and bought it, and it was like barely even opened.
Jeez.
And I paid like cheap for it. Mm-hmm. And now if you look on eBay and stuff, that version of that game's version sells for pushing $200.
Oh my god.
I didn't pay even remotely close to that.
That's amazing.
So
some of the toy shows that we've worked the last few years, you'll find varying degrees of tables that have, mm-hmm, games. Like some of them are, you know, just your run-of-the-mill, you know, family games, but then there's been a few where they've had a real nice collection of strategy games and just off-the-wall stuff. Unfortunately, the prices reflect that too. So.
Yeah. Well, I said that some of those older games, like the old Milton Bradley games, the old Parker Brother games that, yep, were like kind of strategy. You remember Torpedo Run?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I actually saw a version of that at the toy show that I saw you at.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman was selling a version of that, and the box was all tore to hell, and like, I opened it up and I think there were pieces missing, and he wanted $100 and some for it. I just like looked at him and I'm like, really, buddy? I mean, so.
Yeah, gotta love it.
But yeah, I mean, it's board games have really come along. They kind of died off, mm-hmm, in the 2000s, and now over the past, I'd say 10, 15 years, they've really taken off again.
It's almost like that, I'm sure it happens all the time, it's cyclical, that just that sense of nostalgia once you hit a certain age and it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, I want to do this. Plus, they're just, the way they're designing games now.
Yeah.
It's just making it more interesting. I don't know. Yeah, what was the other one we played a whole bunch? HeroQuest.
Yeah. Well, so now they've redeveloped that one now,
oh,
too.
Oh, have they really?
And it's all app. So now you don't need a Dungeon Master.
Okay.
You can play all together and, mm-hmm, use the app to direct you how the game is set up and the board goes. And they have so many different... like expansions to that now. It's crazy.
See, and that's this is going to make me sound like a fuddy-dud. That's always my biggest problem with some of these games is, you know, they design them so that you can only enjoy them if you keep buying these expansion packs,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
keep adding on and adding on, yeah, and adding on. It's like, just make a good game.
Well,
that's,
yeah. what's frustrating too, being a board game lover, is that a lot of these games, when they release the actual version of the game, they'll wait and then they'll release an actual expansion to it that makes the game better.
Yeah.
Or they've had to revise the rules because the rules were so terrible.
Yeah.
And it was, it, you know, nothing matched. Gameplay wasn't matched. So yeah. They had to release it to kind of make it more of a equal standing for everybody who's playing the game.
What was the one that I texted you about it the first time Sharon and I went to Origins?
Yeah.
And they were selling, oh, you add this on, and boy, now your map is this. Oh, it was for The Thing.
Oh, was it The Thing?
It was The Thing. Yeah. It was a Thing board game, and then they had to add an addition. I forget what they called it, but I'm just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's frustrating sometimes because, but then, I mean, sometimes, in all honesty, when they release the expansion pack, some of them are really good.
Yeah.
And they really add to the game. Absolutely. And make it a lot more playable. Mm-hmm. And the replayability to them expands. And I mean, like, one of my favorites is Dune Imperium.
Okay.
And have you seen that one?
I have seen it, but I haven't played it.
I don't know. We should set up a night to play that.
Okay.
That game is, it's a little bit of everything. There's strategy, but then there's no real luck to it other than the expansion I just got for it. I haven't played with yet, but anybody I've played that game with, they've loved it.
Interesting. So, okay.
And it's actually, I think in the Board Game Geek, it's like one of the top 5 or 6 games.
All right. I'm trying to think of what the big one was when Sharon and I went to Origins, because like literally we saw people buying it and they were setting it up in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Rome. I think it was Rome.
Oh, Foundations of Rome?
Foundations of Rome, yeah. They were going nuts with that.
So do you remember the game I had where you, like, I can't remember the name of it, but in the center of the board was, you built like a citadel and the city was in it was the city walls inside.
Yeah.
So Foundations of Rome reminds me of that game.
Okay.
Whenever I looked at that, and I can't remember what that game was called, but whenever I see Foundations of Rome set up, I'm like, man, that looks just like that game from the 80s.
Oh, that's funny. Oh my gosh. Oh.
So.
Now, you've been to Origins, right?
Oh, yeah, I go every year.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
my paycheck is gone usually.
Boy, it's not hard.
It's not hard.
The first year Sharon and I went, I had never been. And my gosh, that anyone who has not been, now they do another one too. What's it called? GDEX?
Yeah, and that's more of the online video game.
Exactly. Yeah. But Origins, my God, that's so fun. I think we spent like $60 before we got past the first vendor.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. Well, so usually when I go, before I go to Origins, I always sit down and look to see who's going to be there and what games they're releasing. What games have I been looking for a while that I can't find, or you know, Amazon doesn't sell them, or you can't buy them online? And then I'll go into Origins with an idea, and I don't buy anything until I'm done walking through the whole thing. Unless I find a game that I know is hot, that's not going to stick around.
Yeah.
And the mistake I made this year was there was a game that's being released this year. It's called SETI.
Okay.
And it's going to be probably up there with Game of the Year. But it looks complex, but it's not as complex as it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically you're searching for intelligent life. And whoever finds it first wins the game, basically. But you get points through the game. And I went to Origins looking for that game, hoping to buy it. And I got there, I think it was around 11 o'clock, noon this year, and they were sold out.
Oh, jeez.
And and now I saw where they're not even, like, releasing it to the public until, like, later next year. So I missed out on that. But
when we went, our D&D group went 2 years ago. Yeah, because we didn't go this year. Because we had
Minicon.
I was so excited because I was talking to this one guy and they had this display for this Old West game, and it was one that was being brought back, and I wish I could remember the name of it right now, but
it wasn't Western Legends, was it?
It was Western. I think that is it.
That's a sandbox game. What do they call a sandbox?
And so we're sitting there talking about it. I'm like, all right, I want this. I didn't even ask him how much. He goes, oh, well, we're not selling it. We're like raising money to do this. We only did enough for people that, you know, on Patreon or whatever. And I'm like, are you? Because we're hoping to get some out in the stores, and I've never seen it. And
I think you can buy that. I think what they're doing with that, if I remember right, is they're expanding it. They're making it bigger, adding more to it without having to do like the expansions to it. Mm-hmm. I think there are expansions for that game, the original game. And I see that game every once in a while. It goes on sale, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Man. I think that would be a good one.
But. Exactly. I just, well, and I'm a sucker for the Old West. Yeah, so, you know, for why sure. Not? But, yeah, it's Origins always in July, right?
Yeah, it's around Father's Day usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't recommend, oh, yeah, June. Yeah, June, it's yeah. End of June, beginning of July. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, one day I want to do the full week. I've only ever done, like, gone one day. But one day I'm going to take that whole week off and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And just, you know, they say to make sure you bring plenty of water, wear layers of clothing because it gets cold in there. And it's just, I hear it's incredible.
Yeah. God, yeah, it's fun. Fun. I actually, there's a game that I figured you might dig. We got it the first year we were there. So it's called Godspeed. Mm-hmm. They, the company that was selling it, they had it deeply discounted because they released it at COVID.
Okay.
And of course, then they couldn't do Origins.
Right.
And everything got shut down. So they were never able to sell it. And like the shows are, for this company, the shows are their only way of selling their games.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were selling it for like $20. It was an $80 game. But the premise is that it's during the race to the moon, right? It's the 60s. And it wasn't, you know how the conspiracy theory is that we never went.
Right.
So we actually went, but not for why we thought we did. It was a distraction because there was a race to get further out into the solar system.
Okay.
And the Russians had beat us, and we were trying to get there before Britain and Japan and someone else. And so the premise is you're trying to build your colony and so that you can have a larger stake and whatnot. And I mean, it seems very involved. It seemed really neat though. But yeah, it's one of those games where you have to have, you know, three, four, or five people playing it, or it's just not as fun.
Yeah.
But I've never thought of, because, you know, growing up, we always saw games in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
And with so many of these things, like what Jordan does with his comic self-publishing, where these people, they're just sitting there making it and they're just doing it at the shows. It's really neat.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool thing about going to Origins, too, is because sometimes you will meet the developers.
Correct.
Yeah. And that happened to my daughter and I. So we play Castle Panic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fantastic game for families. I mean, you play as a team. You have a castle in the center of the board. You're trying to prevent these goblins and orcs from coming in and destroying your tower.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different things you can do with it, but it's definitely a family game. It's easy to learn. It's easy to play. The games can sometimes take a while, but it depends. Anyway, but because we love the game so much, we have all the expansions. So we go to Origins and we're walking around and we see it's Fireside Games, I think, that makes it. And we're walking and we're looking at it and they're bringing out a big box. And it has, instead of using cardboard pieces, everything is miniatures.
Oh.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's cool, but the price tag on it is incredible. It's outrageous. And so, of course, my daughter's like, Dad, we need to get that. And I'm like, honey, I mean, I can only sell one kidney. You know? So we were looking at it, and the guy, he's standing there, and he's like, you guys like this? He's like, oh, you play Castle Panic? And she's like, yeah. He goes, do you like it? She goes, I love it. It's a great game. She goes, in fact, you know, we just played with expansions in, and we tried playing with all the expansions, and the guy literally stops, puts his hand on the counter, and goes, you did what? She goes, we put all the expansions in. He goes, I would never do that, and I developed the game. He goes, were you looking for punishment? Because you can't win the game that way. And of course, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? Oh, you made the game? And it made her day.
That's
and he
awesome.
Was so cool. He was like, so what's your favorite expansion? You know, and like just talking to her and stuff. And he was really cool. So we ended up buying the new expansion that came out, and he gave us a little bit of a discount on it, which was kind of cool. But that's one of the cool things about going there, too, because you can meet those guys. So. And they're usually pretty, they're not real open about who they are at first. But then when you get to talk to them and they'll start telling you about the game, it's like, well, you know, when I designed this game, and then they come out and it's like, oh, you made this game. Okay.
That's, it's funny you say that because that happened to Sharon and I, when we went, we were looking at this one game and it was clearly a family game and for younger kids, but we just thought it looked cool. So we're sitting there and they had one out and we're sitting there kind of playing with it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes over and he starts doing the pitch and I said, you know, look, my kids are older, you know, so this, we just think this looks cool. And I start pointing out some things that I really like, how this looks and that interaction's neat. And they're like, oh, really? And then, sure enough, he's the one who developed it. And that was neat. It's kind of like meeting the people that, you know, do the art for comics or come up with the stories. It's just neat to see their mindset.
Well, so one of the games I have, I was walking through it. It's a war game, mm-hmm. and it uses like the hexagons, but it's supposed to be a little bit more. It's less complex than what an Avalon Hill game would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at it, and the guy came up to me. And he starts talking to me about it. He's like, "Are you interested in the game?" I'm like, "Well, let me show you how it plays." So he brings me over. He shows me the board and everything. And this has probably been about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe. It may have been even before COVID. But he was telling me about the game and explained to me. He's like, "Oh, you know, so you play as the Russians. You're fighting you're trying to prevent the Germans from coming in. You know, it takes place at the East Front, World War II, blah, 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 blah. Tell me the rules and everything." He's like, "Yeah." So he's like, "I designed the game." I'm like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "So what made you decide to, like, get into this?" And mm-hmm. he goes, "Well, I happen to be..." He's from, actually, from up in Fremont, I think.
Oh, okay.
But he's a collector of military stuff. And he was at an auction, apparently, uh-huh. and he found this... It was a field manual from the German Wehrmacht.
Oh, wow.
In World War II. And at first he said he didn't know that's what it was, but he opened it up and he realized that it's an actual field manual for the army that was in World War II for the Germans. So he had kind of their battle plans, and it was on the Eastern Front. So he took that and kind of went into and developed a game with it. I'm like, that is that's just crazy.
That's neat.
It was pretty
cool. Oh, my gosh.
So... But yeah, that's the nice thing about Origins. You can really get, I mean, it can be busy though.
Oh my gosh,
it can get crazy.
Yes. You have to be okay with crowds.
Yes, very much so.
The nice thing though is they do offer a lot of tables to just go and sit at. Yep. So like if you start getting overwhelmed, you can go and kind of like take a breather. What I love about Origins is the fact that pass you bought starts at midnight. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go and find people that are gaming before those doors open at 9, I think that's amazing.
And that's what they do, like the people who do the full pass for the whole week.
Yeah.
I mean, they play until Origin closes, which I think is like 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And then they go to the hotel lobbies that are around the area, and they still play until the next morning. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts.
It's ridiculous.
But one of these days, I plan on doing that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I mean, it'd be great to get an old style, you know, Axis Nowadays game going or something.
Right. Yeah. go ahead.
You were talking about HeroQuest.
Mm-hmm.
So my original copy of HeroQuest I still have that we played.
No kidding. Kids.
I actually pulled it out and I was showing my girls one day. And when I got in and I found the little papers to develop your character, our names were still. Our character names, all the people we had played with.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, it was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
I was like, wow.
That's the one thing I would love to get my hands on is my mom still has all of Dad's games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's the original Risk and his Scrabble. I do have Stratego downstairs, which leads me into, I wanted to ask. So
I have a pet peeve with that game.
Okay. Stratego, I can't remember if it's either Stratego or Mastermind. One of those two were like the first adult or grown-up games that I got to play. And it's because Dad, you know, so anyone who doesn't know, so Stratego, I probably should describe, Jordan. This is a podcast.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Yeah.
Stratego is a military strategy game, but it's kind of like
chess.
It's kind of like chess. Yeah. So you've got your pieces. You got the Red Army, the Blue Army, and you have your pieces with your military members on, and they all have numbers assigned to them. You know, you've got your pawns, your privates, and they're like a one, and it goes all the way up, and there's like one general, if I remember correctly, correct?
You got
two colonels, and so they all have the numbers, and you're playing capture the flag, and you've got bombs. So I know that it was either that or Mastermind, which is just, you know, you've played Mastermind before, right?
That is one I have never played.
Oh, okay. So
I can admit I've never played that.
So Mastermind was fun. Now we've got Advanced or Ultimate Mastermind now that we play with the kids, where the Mastermind, you pick a color scheme with these pegs, and then the next person is just guessing them, and you mark whether you have the correct color but in the wrong spot, or you got right colors, right spots. So okay. it's just, again, another kind of strategy, because you're trying to, you know, figure it out. But those were like the first grown-up games dad and I would play. What about you? I mean, I know you said you played Monopoly and stuff. So
I would probably say Risk. The original Risk is probably the big first adult game that I played.
God, that's such a fun game too.
It can be. So with, I don't know, have you seen the new Stratego, what they've done to it?
I have not.
Okay, no. So you know how...
Because I still have the one from the 70s or 80s.
We'll keep that. Keep that version, because they changed it. So you remember how one was the highest number.
Yeah.
Technically the highest number. Yes. So one could knock out everybody, right? They've switched it.
Oh.
So now one is the worst number and 10 is the best number.
That's okay.
So I bought a copy of it one day. It's like, I saw it at like, you know, Target or something. I'm like, I'll play this with the girls. So wow. I picked it up. I took it home, put it together. I'm like, what the hell is this? What'd you do to this? And I was like, you ruined the game.
Oh my gosh. No.
Or maybe my copy's different, but like I'm reading it. I'm like, why is 10? Like, this isn't how I remember playing this game.
Oh man, I'll have to get my set out. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, look, they've done that with Clue too, right?
Yes, yes.
The rules have changed a little bit. They've got different weapons and it because I remember, so the version we have was a newer version, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't remember this. And then we've got like everything else now. We've got like the Big Bang Theory version of Clue, and think we have, there's another Clue we have down there too, and then we've got different Monopolies. Like I've got John Wayne Monopoly. We've got Marvel and Star Wars.
I would be surprised if he didn't.
Yeah. And then my aunt got me Limaopoly.
Okay.
Because, you know, Alter Ego Comics is on there, which is the comic shop I go to a lot. And then Kewpie, of course, is on there. So, you know, have to have that. But, it's funny how they're just, like everything else, they're just put out so many different versions. You're bound to, you know, you got the Harry Potter versions of things and the Lord of the Rings versions of things.
They've done that with Risk.
Yeah.
They've done that with Risk.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they did that with Stratego, too. Where
I think they did, yes.
It was like, I could have sworn I saw like a Transformers version of Stratego or G.I. Joe or something years ago. So it's, anything to get that money. But no. I had the thought in my head. There's a big difference. I know where I'm going now.
Okay. That's good.
sometimes. Between, so it was funny. My mom's side of the family, for the holidays, it was always cards. You know, we would just play euchre.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad's mom, she loved doing board games.
Yeah.
And so at first it would just, or just playing games in general. So at first it was simple, like, you know, spoons and this and that. But then as everyone started buying games, you know, there was this game called Quizzard that we would play.
Mm-hmm.
Taboo and Catchphrase and Scattergories.
Mm-hmm.
So, which are wildly different than the strategy games. So
yes.
Do you have, or have you ever had like a go-to party game? I like to call those party games because, you know, most people aren't wanting to bust out Life and play that. That's more of a family thing and everyone's hanging out. But
so Cards Against Humanity is one that people talk about. However, as board game enthusiasts, most board game enthusiasts cannot stand that game. It is greatly despised. And I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've played it, but there's so many different versions of that
game.
Um, I don't really have a favorite party game. I don't have a whole lot of party games because it's really hard to find a lot of people to play those.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Because a lot of times, even with those, they'll say three or more people. And if you have three people, four people, it's still not as fun.
Yeah.
Like, you need a big group.
Absolutely.
And I know one of the games they play at Origins every year is the Werewolf game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I've never played that, but I hear that. Have you played that?
I don't know if I've played that one, but I've played something that's exactly like it.
The Werewolf by Night?
One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
Yes, that's it. We play that. Yep.
Did we play that?
I've never played that.
The D&D group played that one night.
God, it's all blended together in my brain.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
It's a blast. It's really fun. Yeah. That's a fun game to play. It is better when you've got more people.
Yeah.
So that, you know, there's more you have to keep track of. We actually have a card version of Oregon Trail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
That is a blast.
Did you die of dysentery?
I did. And then what was the other one we played one time? It's a Super Mario Brothers card game.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Was that the... I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, card games are... So, I like card games.
Yeah.
But the card games that I've bought are the strategy ones.
Sure.
And I know the one that I own that I haven't played yet is called Radlands.
Okay.
And it's basically a card game loosely based off of Mad Max.
Nice.
So each faction has their little, like, I think it's a refinery, and you're sending out your guys to go get the refinery with using cards. I've never played it. I own it.
Well,
but it looks fantastic, and I hear it's great. But
we've got over 100 games.
Don't
ask me how many we play. What's your favorite? Do you have a go-to party?
Party game?
Yeah.
Not really. I'm kind of... Like, you know, it's a little bit of the finding enough people to play and then enough people that all want to play the same thing. It's hard because usually when I... So I had a board game group a couple of years ago that I was part of, and we would play more involved strategy games, so I never really got into the party games as much.
Gotcha. What'd you guys play?
Everything. My friend would buy everything.
Really?
Yeah, he has a whole gaming room. He's got a board game table that he built.
That's my next big someday.
You want to do that. We would love to. We've talked about replacing this and getting one of those nice ones that you can put a top on. We saw those at Origins. I sent a picture to Sharon.
Yeah, the guys that usually are at Origins that sell those, that's the high end. Buy cheaper ones than that. But
it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're nice.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. They're beautiful.
I've actually seen $500 or whatever. But
I've actually seen plans where you can build them your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just buy a table like this, and they'll tell you how to build it.
But. Yeah. I would say mine was Scattered Wars is always fun because as long as you know words, it's easy to play, and it doesn't matter how many people you have playing that one. I do want to share one memory, though, because as I was trying to decide what I wanted to talk about with this, I'm trying to think. It was one of the first years I got to play with the adults, right? Because that was the thing is, you know, as a kid, I'd be watching all the grown-ups playing.
Yeah.
And I was the oldest grandkid, but I still didn't get to play. And it's like, when do I get to play?
Yeah.
Finally, I want to say I was probably about 13, 12 or 13, somewhere around in there, maybe even 14. And we had Pictionary. I forget who owned it, but we're playing it at my grandma's. And we're going around. All of a sudden, Dad and I got on this streak. And, like, we were getting each other's drawings. Boom, 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 boom. It was just so many in a row. And then finally, I literally, all I did was draw the top of a snout and started to go up with the head. And before I finished, she goes, hippopotamus. That was it. And my grandma started throwing a fit, and my dad started laughing so hard he fell out of the chair. His chair fell backwards. He falls down. My grandma's like, "What's wrong with you?" And
that's great.
It was like hippopotamus. It's like, how in the world? And but yeah, it was just fun. That, and then like the games where you had to be fast and hit a button or this and that, and my grandma wouldn't get it just right. She'd get so frustrated.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really neat when you look back, and I'm glad my kids Mm-hmm. And I'm glad your kids, it's awesome to sit there, even if it's just a silly game like Mousetrap.
Yep. You know? Yep.
Absolutely, but Wyatt's favorite game, unless this has changed his life.
Yeah.
Like whenever we were having family game night, mm-hmm. and it was his choice, I want to play Life.
Yeah. My youngest likes Life. She likes to play that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute blast. I will say, as I've gotten older, I like the games where you don't have to rely on the luck of something, right? Yeah,
it's a little more thought and strategy. Yeah, you have to plan out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we were...
That's my type.
Yeah. We were watching a game at Origins, and it was a fantasy game. And the cards were neat, and the premise was cool, but literally everything was based on what you rolled.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get to choose anything. I mean, even with D&D, yeah, your role dictates this, but you still have
to... You're making a decision.
Exactly. Yeah. You still have to navigate through the map. And this one game, it wasn't. It was just literally...
I rolled it. So that's one complaint a lot of people have with Axis and Allies, is that it's a luck of the roll. It's like there's strategy to the game, but if you can roll high all the time, you're going to win the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's not, even though there's strategy to the game, there's more luck to it. And that's one thing that people don't like about those type of games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Risk is the same way too,
it is,
right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You still have to have the strategy. You know, if you don't move your armies to the right continent, but you could just get on a bad roll.
Yeah.
And well, it doesn't matter.
I taught my 13-year-old how to play Risk.
Uh-huh.
And the first time she played it, it took her a minute to kind of understand it. We played it a second time, she got it. Third time we played it, she understands it. And now she's like, Dad, I don't want to learn Access and Allies. I'm like, well, honey, let me tell you something. I started playing Access and Allies when I was about your age, so I think it's probably time.
Awesome.
So we're going to pull out the original one, the very, very, very first one, and teach her how to play it.
That's great. What was the game you had messaged me, I think, from this year that they were selling at Origins, that they had, like, reproduced?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I actually wrote that down. So there's a game company that's out there. It's called Restoration Games.
Mm-hmm.
And they take old games from, like, the 70s and 80s, and they're redoing them. They're making them a little bit more complex, but more adult-oriented. But they're redoing them. And... Thunder Road.
Ah, there we go.
Thunder Road was the one.
I was sitting there trying to think of the name. That's awesome.
They're the ones who are doing crossbows and catapults, too.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Thunder Road, they redid Fireball Island from the 80s.
Nice.
And they did Return to Dark Tower,
mm-hmm.
which okay. I finally bought a copy of that this year at Origins because it was actually cheaper than buying it at Amazon.
Yeah.
And my oldest daughter and I played that, and that game is incredible.
Nice.
It is... And you remember the original Dark
Tower?
Yes,
I do.
I mean, that game back then was the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't really find that game. And now they've redone it. The tower is huge.
Nice.
But basically, for those who have never seen this game, it's basically a board of, like, a country. And then right in the center is this huge tower. And the goal of the game is everybody plays together to beat the tower. And everybody has your own little kingdom that you have to protect, but you got to help your... neighbor too,
mm-hmm.
and there's every time something happens, skulls go into the Dark Tower, and the Dark Tower will tell you what's going to happen. So either you lose troops or they take over this, and now they've expanded it where it's all app based,
mm-hmm.
so you can actually do dungeon hunting with it now to find certain weapons to help defeat the, because the goal is to get the Dark Tower so angry at you that the head monster, whatever he is, he comes out, mm-hmm. and you have to fight him. But it's a great game. It's expensive, but I mean, if you like those type of games, it's well worth the investment.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, it's how much time do you put into it?
Yeah, and you can play it solo too. And that's one of the things too. Like a lot of these games now that are coming out, they really try to strive to put a solo mode into
mm-hmm.
it, and which is nice, especially for people like me.
Absolutely,
because I mean, my kids don't always want to play, and you know, but. There's so many games out there now that are so, like, Dune Imperium, you can play solo. And I've done that a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's challenging.
Sure.
You can set the challenge. The nice thing about it, you can set how difficult you want to make the computer. Well, you use an app on that one too, but.
It's so funny. I was going to bring up, so you mentioned the apps. Jordan's too young for this. I actually sent him a picture of one of the games that I found at a Half Price Bookstore. But this is right up your alley. Remember when the VCR games were the huge, that was like...
What was the one, Nightmare?
There was Nightmare. Yeah. There wasn't there one called Gatekeeper 2 or something like that. But I found one at Half Price, and I've never gone back to see if they got it. And I should, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
But it was based on Isaac Asimov.
Okay.
And which book was it?
iRobot?
It may have been iRobot. Anyways, we used to play, it was either Nightmare or Gatekeeper. I forget what it was called, but it was just so wild to me that we're sitting there playing on a board and you're still trying to get this, and then you'd be on the TV and that dude would just hop on.
It was probably Nightmare, because I remember that one, because then he'd always come out and be like, you've been bad.
Yes, gosh.
I remember playing that with Irby.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh man, that
robots.
Oh, robots.
VCR mystery game.
Okay.
All right. I need to go back. I forget which one I was at though when I saw that. I mean, it's either Bethel Road or Lewis Center. I need to go back because they only wanted like $20 for it.
15.
And $15. And I still have a VCR that works.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Even better.
So right.
Yeah.
So it's but yeah, now you've got the game. So I mean, like the One Night Werewolf, Ultimate Werewolf.
Yeah.
You can get an app. And it will do everything for you. Instead of having a person that's in charge, you can just have them do it. And that's what I love. There was a game that we got from Origins 2 years ago. Sharon wasn't with me, so it was with the D&D group. It's called Night Cage. And there's an app you can download.
I have that game.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I haven't played that one yet.
So we played it for Sharon's birthday. We had some friends come over, and we... the guy who designed it, he's like, look, if you can, turn down
your lights. Yeah, I've heard to play it in candlelight. I heard to play it in candlelight, and that adds so much to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was fun. We did end up, getting out. I'm not sure we played it 100% correctly. Because there's a couple things that came up, and we're like, sure. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, since it was a little unclear, we're doing it this way. So we probably didn't do it quite right, but man, it was, and we had the lights as low as we could and still being able to see.
Yes. Yeah.
We tried having these electronic tea lights, and that was not. But we do that every New Year's Eve. We switch houses with these friends of ours, and it is, we'll take, you know, a dozen games with us, or like this year they'll bring the games to us, and it's it's a blast. What's the one? Ticket to Ride.
Oh yeah,
was one that we got a few years back, and Sharon and the kids loved, and then
Catan.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wavelength, man. Those games typically go together.
Yeah. Right? And we had never played that, and it was a year I couldn't make it, and they played, and Sharon absolutely loved it.
I love Catan. The times I have played it, I loved it. But that is one that is, among the board game community, is very a hot topic, man.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people despise that game.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I don't understand why, because the complaints I see about it are reasons why I like the game.
Yeah.
And there's so many different like expansions to that now too, which adds so much more to it. I'm like, how can you not like that game?
Exactly.
I think that's a great one.
Yeah. So. I still have not yet played.
Oh wow.
Catan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still have never played it.
We should do that sometime.
To me, everything I've read about it, I'm like, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Jordan, we're monopolizing. What do you got,
Monopoly.
Man? Monopoly. What's your opinion
on
Monopoly?
No, because you said monopolizing.
Oh, yeah.
What's my opinion on Monopoly?
Yeah.
Because
it's a hot...
That's a hot topic.
Right?
I am not personally a big fan of Monopoly.
Yeah.
But that's one of those games that you play so many times as a kid that I'm just like, okay, like, let's play something new. Like,
exactly.
That's right. My thing. And I don't want to... I'm not going to drag it through the mud or anything, but...
Well, the thing is with Monopoly, too, is I'd say probably 90% of people don't play it right.
Correct.
Correct. Which is... which ends up happening, right? And then it turns into this whole Mandela effect of, you know, like Uno. All of a sudden, no one knows how to play Uno.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. That's the one thing that I loved about being a kid. My dad had so many different games. I was trying to, and I didn't end up making the list. So I'm going to try to do from memory.
Doing it live.
I'm doing it live. Here we go. So besides Stratego, you know, we have the Stratego. Monopoly always caused fights. Always. Because my mom and sister wouldn't play right, and my dad would get upset. So we just stopped playing Monopoly.
The game was based to make... To prove that capitalism is the right way.
Correct, right? Although I love the history of Monopoly, which I just learned in the last couple of years where...
New Jersey.
But it was meant to do the opposite. And it's just like, son of a... Anyway, so we had those. We had the Scrabble. And then we had Scattergories, you know, as it went on. But some of the games I remember playing, there was a game called Go for Broke, which was fun. You had, and then there was Payday, was another game. One of those two, I forget which one it was, but they had these little suitcases that you put little tiles in, and they had money, and you were trying to collect them. There was an oil-bearing game that Dad had. I forget what the name of that one was. Crossbows and Catapults, which we already talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I know we never played that right. Because we literally just built the castles and then we just tried to beat the hell out of them.
That's the best way to do it, man. I mean, seriously. That's the thing. Like, I was looking to see what they did with that now. And now it's like card-based. Like, you're using cards to increase your catapults and all of a sudden. I'm like, can we just go back to the way it was?
So, the one I found, they didn't do that. You just got these gnomes and orcs and stuff, or goblins or whatever. And you just have the crossbow and the catapults and you're just going at it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't put it together yet to see... You know, it's colorful, kind of like childish, like we were discussing before we started recording. But it seems pretty simple. The ones at Origins, all the different versions, none of them seem quite right. This one seems at least like the most close to what my memory from an 8-year-old recalls. But there were so many different games.
Mm-hmm.
It was never the same thing. So we never got bored with it, but it got to the point where it was just Dad and I, so it was a lot of Scrabble, it was a lot of Risk, it was a lot of Stratego or Mastermind, unless we were at my grandma's house, and then we'd have a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing about Columbus, though, is that there is a huge board game community, and they every weekend, they have, like, big board game get-togethers. I've never been to one. I plan on getting to one here soon.
Mm-hmm.
But you basically just walk in, and there'll be people there that'll play the game you want to play. There'll be people there that'll teach you how to play a game you want to play.
Nice.
You can bring your own game. I mean, that's definitely something I want to try to get into.
We've got a brewery here in town
mm-hmm.
that they do that. I don't know if it's every Sunday or if it's the first Sunday of the month. But honestly, I think you could take a game there any day of the week and play it. It's called Walking Distance, and he's got a bunch of games around the corner that people have donated or he found at thrift shops. But they have a Union County gaming club that shows up.
Yeah.
And
it's gaming, board gaming's definitely made a huge comeback.
And you do some? Do you guys do something at the library? Or I know you do D&D, but do you?
Yeah, we do D&D. No, we don't. We used to do game nights, but it was like pretty hit or miss. So we do have a board game library at work. So you can check out board games.
That's no kidding.
Yeah. I wish Columbus would have some.
So what kind of games do you have in your game board?
Well, we have Catan. We have Ticket to Ride. We have the normal stuff. I don't know if we have Betrayal in the House on the Hill, or if we used to have it.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah,
that's a fun one.
That is.
A fun one. We have Agricola, which is one of the games that I never want to play again because it was just so complicated to learn. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was like, if I want to go farm, I'll do it in real life.
Right. It'd be but, easier. Well, what was the game you came over one night?
Oh yeah.
Well, it was the Godzilla game.
Yeah, that was so difficult to learn.
Oh my god! So it was. It's from the Funkoverse.
Okay.
And it's a strategy game. It's a role-playing game. But the instructions were literally so vague.
Yeah.
We couldn't figure it out. It took us, like, It took us almost an hour.
Yeah, it was a long time.
To figure out how the gameplay is supposed to go. Once we figured it out, then it was easy. But I haven't played it since. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, it shouldn't be that hard to figure out how to set up a game and go through the playing. And Sharon loves a shorter game. So we found like this one at Origins called 5-Minute Mystery.
Yeah, we own that. That's a fantastic game.
Such a fun game.
Yeah, my girlfriend and her kid love that game. Yeah. They play it all the time.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, that's a fantastic
game. Yes, it is. And those are the games that when people say, oh, I don't like games that drag out something, no, okay, let's play this. Yeah.
Well, they have a 5-Minute Dungeon one now, too, which I'd like to get into.
Yes.
That game is like, that's icing on the cake. Fun. Kids love it. It's quick.
Yeah. And I always pull out, for the people who, you know, think games are boring, I actually see it over there. It's Cat Taco.
Yes.
Cat Taco Goat Cheese Pizza.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
My girls have played that. They want me to buy that game, so that's definitely on my list.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
Sharon got me a Christmas version of it 1 year. Now, the one thing I will warn people, if you play this, make sure your nails are trimmed. We drew blood at our D&D group played it one night. And blood was drawn by about three different people. We had to get the Band-Aids out. But we played it. Sharon pulled it out for Thanksgiving or Christmas for her family last year. And they loved it. And so, like, we've had two, three, four people buy it now. Mm-hmm. Just because. And again, it's super quick. It's fun. And there's literally all you got to do is know how to say a word.
Yeah.
And then there's a few goofy things you have to do. But, it's great. Mm-hmm. Again, a nice little party thing just to keep people entertained. But, oh my gosh, how are we doing on time?
9 minutes.
Oh my gosh, we got plenty of time.
So that's the thing with board games. They're definitely a collector's item now.
Oh, and yes, like
we were talking before we started there, trying to find the older games. And the big thing now that people are trying to collect are the old Avalon Hill games because they're out of print now. You can't, they're hard to find. And there's some good ones out there.
Those, you weren't with me, I think it was Weldy. There were these, it wasn't Avalon Hill, but there were these games that they had in one of the stations, and they had these books. It was almost like a regular book, but then there was like this very simple gameplay with it.
Yeah.
I have never...
A lot of those are soloed.
Oh, okay.
That's been around for a little bit of time now. I've never purchased any of those. There are some really good ones that get really good reviews and stuff on them. Like there's one where... It's Stalingrad, and you're trying to prevent the Germans from coming in.
Okay.
Those games are they're coming along too now.
Fun
because they're cheap, they're small.
If I see them, I'll have to get those again because that was I did end up grabbing a board game. It's Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet. I got it from a friend.
Is it the Avalon Hill version of it?
I don't know. It's an older looking version.
Pretty good thick box.
No, it's a long box. And shallow.
Okay, that's probably one of the original Avalon Hill games. That's worth money.
Okay.
Yeah, those old games, like I have the original Tactics that came out back in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. I have a version of that. I don't know what the publishing date on it is, but that game's not made anymore. And that's one that if I threw it on eBay or something, I'd probably make a kill.
Wow. I follow a guy on TikTok for as long as it lasts anymore. Yeah. But he lives up in Cleveland. He's actually a professor at a school of design, and he teaches board game design.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so he's constantly going to thrift stores. And
that's the place to get games now, too.
Right?
Yeah.
And now his specialty are ones that have mechanisms. Like, he likes having mechanisms with them. He hates trivia games.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just neat seeing him go through... And just kind of talk about the different, and he'll give a little history on some things and whatnot. It's just, the thrift stores, the biggest thing is, man, make sure you open it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's in there first.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd say when I was collecting, like, my Game Master series, the one that I have that was hard to find was Conquest of the Empire. Mm-hmm. I had a heck of a time trying to find a complete set of that. So what I ended up doing is I bought one set, and then I saw one on sale at, I think, at the toy show I was at, and I bought another copy of it and completed the set.
Mm.
So.
All right. So before we finish up, someone tells you, I want to get into board games. What are two or three that you're recommending to him? That
I was going
to
ask that question too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jordan. No, ask him the question.
No,
it's what are you recommending to him? Try this. Now, obviously, it all depends on what they like. So maybe give us a strategy game and a family game. What are you telling them to get into?
I think Castle Panic is definitely high on the list.
Castle Panic. I played that.
Because that adds in the element of cooperative play. Mm-hmm. Like I wrote down, there's 43 different types of games. I didn't write it down all the genres, but that adds in, you have, that's cooperative, strategy.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety-inducing.
And you're working as a team and the family works together.
Nice.
So that's a good game for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can go, there are so many different ones.
Yeah, right?
That's a thing, it's so hard. I mean, the big thing now with some of these games is they tell a story. So like they go through and it changes. They're called legacy games. Mm-hmm. And every decision you make changes how the game's going to play the next time you play
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Pandemic is another good one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is you're also cooperative, strategy, family plays together. You're trying to beat these different types of diseases and mm-hmm. stuff before they take over the world. Catan is another one. That's a good, like, if you just want to get into the basics of more complex board gaming, mm-hmm. but still have to use strategy, and it's not too complex, not too hard.
Yeah.
That's a good starting one. Those would probably...
those are good ones.
Yeah. And then solo-wise, I mean, there's so many different solo games out there that you can purchase.
I love that they're doing more of those.
Yeah.
And also doing a lot of games for couples. Because there's a few people on TikTok I follow that, you know, really focus on that.
Because
mm-hmm. Obviously although the oldest has graduated, so they're home now. But
Well, the new one that's out that people are raving about, I own it. I've opened it up and looked at it. It looks really fun, but it's called Sky Team. Okay. And you're basically pilot and co-pilot. You work mm-hmm. as a team, so it's you and your spouse or whoever you mm-hmm. want to play with. But, and your job is to land the plane.
But you're not allowed to talk. Yes.
You're not allowed to talk.
Yes.
You have to kind of guess what they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And you have to land the plane. And the board, the game is set up, there's a campaign with it. So mm-hmm. you may fly into LA on the very first time.
Yeah.
That's like the easiest airline or easiest airport to land in. And the next one gets harder. And then the next one gets harder. And then you have to work as a team to land those planes. That right now is getting really good reviews. And there's, I think I read where there's a huge expansion coming out for that to add even more airports to it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the coolest place too is go to Target.
Yes.
Yeah.
Target's the place now to buy your board games.
Great selection.
They have a great selection. Yes. And if you need to find a game, go to BoardGameGeek, .com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on there. You can find, it's kind of a complicated site to go to, but you can definitely dig around and find like the top family games, the top cooperative games. And you can read the reviews on it. And they also, the cool thing about it is there's a complexity rating on there, mm-hmm. up to 5. Anything greater than close to 5 is obviously very complex. So then you'd want to look at, if you're just getting started, start off with like a 2.
Exactly.
It would go over 2.5 probably. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And always look too, because some games they say, 2 to 5 players. The cool thing about Board Game Geek, it'll also tell you like best with, and it'll tell you how to play the game and how it plays better. Because my daughter and I just played a game not too long ago called Plunder.
Uh-huh.
We played together, a supposedly 2 to 6 player game. We played together, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Now, if we had more people, it would have been so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that 2 to whatever, or the 1 to whatever, you're right. It's better to find out what's the ideal number of people for this so that we enjoy it.
And that website, Board Game Geek, will definitely help you with that.
And they... And you can keep track of all your games, like my buddy Steve, who I was telling you about before we got started. He's got all his games loaded on that. And then I can see what he has. So the next time I'm going up or if he's coming down, hey, bring this. Mm-hmm. We've often talked about, and I'll have to keep you posted about this, we haven't done it yet, but now that I've got weekends off, we've talked about just renting a B&B for the weekend
mm-hmm.
and just having a group of people.
That's a new thing. People do that now, too, a lot.
Yeah.
I'd be so down for that.
What games do you recommend, Jordan?
I always tell people to play Ticket to Ride because it's got a good design and a really easy to learn. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the games that I have played over the last couple of years can be really complicated, and people don't like to not understand things.
Correct.
So there's that one. I like Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert.
Yes. We didn't discuss that. Yeah. Those are great too. Yeah.
That's another really good. That's a good co-op. Yeah.
To start with. Yeah, for sure.
Betrayal in the House on the Hill is a good one to start with because you get multiple scenarios out of it. There's a lot of good horror games, but they're not all very comprehensive. Like, what's the one that I really like that's kind of hard? It's some Eldritch game, and you have to, like, play, and every hour you lose a bit of sanity, and you're trying to stop the old gods from coming through. So that's a fun one, but I wouldn't recommend starting with that one.
The thing is, if you do the house
one,
get the, I think it's the third edition, because they had to completely redo the rules because it was so complex.
Oh, really?
Some of the different haunts
would
come. Well, they had to redo it because it was hard.
Yeah.
So they redid it and made it easier to understand.
Yeah, that's why I kind of recommend playing with somebody who's already done it.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, when we played it, I had already played it, and I was like, I'll be the reader and the haunter, you know, because, and then I'll show you guys how to do it. So those are some that I recommend. I'm trying to think what we have at work, because those are all pretty, like, we don't have, like, Monopoly and Guess Who and stuff. We have stuff that's, like, a tier above that, but that's not super complicated. So anything from there is really good, you know, I think. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely something like Ticket to Ride is easy to understand, and it kind of gets you to want to play more stuff, and then you can delve into the world of board games with stories and everything. So, and before, now, I wanted to ask you before we sign off here, because we are at an hour, but have you ever been to the Guard Tower? I'm going to assume you have.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you're lucky enough to, have you been to the Guard Tower? Mm-mm. Oh, wow. I'll have to take you. Okay. If you're lucky enough to be in the Central Ohio area, the Guard Tower is the place to go if you are really getting into board games. They have a lot of Warhammer stuff, which we didn't even talk about that, but don't get me started on that. I'm trying to understand
that. That's a whole other
I know.
Podcast.
I'm trying to understand the rules of that.
That's a whole other podcast.
We could do an hour on just Warhammer.
We can invite Henry Cavill.
Huge. It's huge.
So,
we'll need John to help us with that one.
I don't know. But they've got Warhammer. They've got a lot of role-playing stuff, like not just D&D, but you know, they've got like other modules and stuff. But then they've got a lot of really great board games. That's where I found stuff like Takenoko, which is really fun. Which is a panda bamboo eating game, which you're just like, what? And then you play it and you're like, wow, this is really relaxing. Like, so you have to go to the Guard Tower sometime. It's really fun.
It's right down the road for me now. They moved.
No kidding. Oh, they moved?
Yeah, they moved. Okay. They used to be on Trayview and now they're on Hilliard Rome Road.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the guys, the two of the original guys, I think, just left there and they opened up their new store right off the tunnel.
Oh.
And it's huge. I saw pictures of it. They have like a huge lounge for kids to go in. They can just pick games up and start playing. And
nice.
It's really nice. Yeah. That's cool. So,
yeah, we got to go, but guard your wallet.
Set a spending limit.
Well, speaking of role-playing games, we should mention that D&D celebrating their milestone this year, right? So 50 years.
50 years, yeah.
So,
it's, that's pretty, right?
Oh, dude.
Right?
I remember, I know we're getting away from time here, but do you remember the board game store that was in the Lima Mall?
Yes.
I used to go in there and just be in awe. And just would like, I'd looked at all the bookcase games from Avalon Hill, and I'd just be like, oh my gosh, I want that one.
Right.
I want that one.
It was a dangerous place.
It was. And I'd turn to him and I'd look at him and I'm like, I want this game. I'm never going to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to play this game because the rules are just so complex.
Yeah.
Like, I always just wanted my hands on it because I just thought it was so cool. And obviously that's carried over. I mean, we're pushing the 50 mark here and half a century old, and it's like, now, you know, that's when I retire, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and I'm like, you know what? I've had this game since I was a kid. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to learn how to play.
Absolutely. No, it's, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's, we didn't even talk about board games in our episode of weird collections.
Yeah.
They're not weird or unusual,
unconventional.
They're it's definitely unconventional,
but it's nowadays it's just you've got it. My buddy Steve, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, I believe he's near 400 or more.
I know what that's like. I have a whole like shelf of shame,
and
it's not just a shelf, it's probably
it's like,
you know,
but it's no different than owning books, right?
No,
it's
not.
You're just sitting there going,
I'll get to it eventually.
If you go over there, every book that's stacked on its side or on its back are ones to be read.
I think we can sum this up by Brian K. Vaughan quote, I was looking it up because I couldn't remember the order of it. But in Saga, he says, the only three forms of high art are the symphony, the illustrated children's book, and the board game.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Yes. I do want to mention one game for couples.
Yeah.
Because as far as games to get people started, you guys nailed it. There is one that I bought for Sharon last year. I actually bought two different games, and they're both fun. One's called Fox in the Woods. And it's a card game, and it's a trick-taking game. Mm-hmm. Beautiful cards, and easy to learn, and it goes very quickly. But the one that we played the most is called Mandala, and it's the board is a tapestry, like you would find on someone's table. And again, you're trying to make tricks, and I won't say it was super easy to learn, but it wasn't difficult. It was... Once you played it a couple times, you're like, oh, okay, you know, because the directions are such, you're like, all right. But man, it is fun, and it goes fast, and it's actually quite enjoyable. Again, because it's almost like art. Mm-hmm. You're holding these cards, and those are just beautiful. So I would recommend that for anyone who has a couple, you know, it's just one or two people. You can't play it solo. But yeah, that is a blast. But yeah, Ticket to Ride is awesome. I would say we already talked about 5-Minute Mystery, but play that if you don't like games or you're just getting into it, because that will change it.
Yeah.
That is just so fun, and it's fast, and yeah.
It can be frustrating too.
It can be. And you took my Forbidden Island. That is just, oh my God, that game is so fun. We played that, I think it was one night you were gone too for D&D.
Yeah.
We played that. That is just such a fun
game. It's fun.
That is a blast. But yeah, awesome. Well, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll have to have a part two for this,
I think. We will have to have a part two. Yes. And
definitely.
Because there's definitely a lot of games we didn't get to.
For sure. I have a whole list of like, there's 43 different types of board games.
Yeah, no, so it's one of those ones where we could talk in the next 4 hours and probably still not cover everything. So, but hey, that's why we do these, so that we can drag it out. Another part two.
Yeah, we're branching out. We're getting our part
two. You guys have been around doing it for a while now. Yeah. You're ready for the part two.
Yeah. Well, we just recorded
DC animated
movies.
Okay.
And we got like halfway through the list.
And we got about halfway through the list, and we're like, we got to stop. So we will have to do that for this too, and bring you back for that. So
yeah, we'll definitely have to set up a board game night. And anybody out there wants to play, I mean, reach out to Doug. You get my number. I'll play with you.
Absolutely.
I'll
teach you a game. Oh, we definitely need to do a game night. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. It's just a blast. But
it's all in fun.
It is all in fun. All right. Well, great. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, man.
Jordan, it's a pleasure as always.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and hey, you're welcome. Hopefully my phone noises didn't bother anyone too
much. Oh, is that your phone? I was wondering. I thought, is that my phone?
I'm pretty sure it's mine. It's telling me how well I'm doing in fantasy football.
Oh.
I thought it was your dealer.
Yeah.
That too.
Your board game dealer.
There we go.
Your dice dealer.
My dice. Oh, don't. Yeah, see, we could talk about dice.
And it is your birthday tomorrow, so.
Yeah, everybody.
Maybe it was my
everybody
special wish, on the little blue pill.
Everybody wish Doug a happy birthday tomorrow.
Awesome.
Happy birthday, buddy.
All right, appreciate it. All right, guys. Well, thank you as always for listening. Anyone who's got board game recommendations.
Board game suggestions, please.
Your favorite, your least favorite.
Yeah, stuff
what,
to avoid.
What should we look into? Please let us know, and we'll definitely, I'm not above buying games just for research purposes.
Right.
So, all right, thanks, guys. Don't forget, stay nerdy.